All right, if you have your hand out there, we'll go ahead and study, continue tonight, and I broke up the portion with the rod and the staff to give us a little more time. I'm glad that we did a little bit later in our prayer time and things tonight, but which is fine, no hurry. And we'll look at the shepherd's comforting rod. Here, I'm going to put up a slide here in just a moment. Hold on. Oh, never mind. You got it. It's already up. Oh, up and gone. All right, tell the truth. How many saw the slide? All right, good. All right. Now, when you read Psalms and we think of a shepherd, Moses and others in the Bible that were shepherds, do we always picture the rod and the staff, or do we have a tendency of looking at only the staff? I mean, how many times growing up, I thought they were one and the same. In my younger, earlier years, thought one and the same. Go ahead, brother. Put that back up. I thought I could just give a visual tonight, and we'll have that up for tonight. As you see, the rod, relatively short, heavy, club-like device. Some of us might think it looks like a billy stick. And then, of course, the staff, longer and thinner, with a hook and a crook at one end. But we'll be looking more at the rod tonight. So let's look in Psalm 23 and verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I could really easily look at that picture and think of the staff, think of a shepherd, and think how that might bring comfort. But I'm not too sure about that rod. That looks to me more like discipline. And it can be. And at times it needs to be, and it should be. So let's look a little bit tonight as we go a little further in our study, and we'll do a little comparison on how that affects us as well. Now remember, the shepherd is in the high country with his flock. And as I studied and reviewed some of this and going back and reading some other information, almost sounded like bivouac in the days of the military, of being in the field. He has no luxuries. I might have had a cot and a tent in my military days, but the shepherd has no luxuries. He carries with him the essentials to complete his task of protecting and watch care over those sheep. He frequently sleeps in the open or in a scantily shepherd's shack. He carries a small bag of food for himself and medical supplies for the sheep. The only other items needed would be his shepherd's staff and rod. And those are the important things that he needs to care for those sheep. Tonight we'll focus our attention on the rod and how he uses it to bring comfort to the flock. Again, when I hear my dad, as I said last week, son, this is going to hurt me more than going to hurt you, I never understood that. And even now as I study and look at Psalms, as believers, there's at times that we do need the comfort of the shepherd's hook, but we also need sometimes the discipline or the attention that is needed within the rod itself. Now, when a young shepherd boy begins to tend his father's flock, he selects a rod suited for his own size and strength. So that's kind of a smaller version. And I would imagine that David, in his younger years, traded in something for maybe a longer rod, a longer staff, as he grew and became stronger. I'm sure Moses was different because it's according to their size, their strength, and what is needed to do the job. Just like David and Goliath with the armor, it was too big for David. He couldn't prove Saul's armor. He had to use what was good for him, what he knew, and that was his rod, his staff, his pouch, his sling is what he used. And here the young shepherd boy, a shepherd will pick out that which is suited again for his size and his strength. It is important to get it right because the rod will be an extension of the shepherd's arm as he carries and cares for the sheep. In the lives of believers, the rod of God's word extends his care for his sheep from his heart to us. And we'll look at that comparison tonight with the rod, meaning, of course, the word of God. Number one, the shepherd's rod of authority. The shepherd's rod of authority. Letter A, the representation of the shepherd's rod. The representation of the shepherd's rod. See, for the sheep, the shepherd's rod is his symbol of authority over the flock. And as I've mentioned before in passing, I don't want to dwell a lot on this tonight, a woke culture and society that we've become in our country, there's not the same authority today in exercise the way it has been in the past, by no means. Whether it be military, any first responders, and even pastors. There was a time and a place in America earlier in my ministry that I could just pull over and mention that I am a pastor looking for directions. I've got turned around. People fall over themselves to help me. Today, they're too busy. They don't care. It's a different time. And we need to make sure that nonchalant attitude and approach this doesn't carry over as Christians and looking at the Word of God and how we should apply it to our lives. And with it, this symbol of authority, the shepherd is able to effectively control his sheep in every situation without him being really handicapped. He may have many that he cares of with only one, but it's a help. Let's look at a couple passages of Scripture. Exodus chapter 4, there with your handout. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And what did he say? A rod. A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. I don't know about you, I'd be looking for my shepherd's crook and staff with that snake before I reached down there, but it's exactly what he did. And he put his hand forth and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. See, when Moses needed a symbol of his authority to lead Israel out of Egypt's bondage, God used a rod to set that example of authority. And during the contest with Pharaoh, it was again Moses' rod that was the proof of his authority. And again, as we look at the Word of God as being our authority, that rod to help us, we need to make sure that we're using it and heeded to it. Sometimes, I don't know about you, isn't sometimes a little more bothering when you're hearing the preaching and you may get rebuked a little bit? Isn't it a little bit easier when you read it and discover it yourself? Sometimes it's a little harder when someone else corrects you. A little harder when the Holy Spirit uses a mouthpiece of the speaker, a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary, your pastor, Sunday school teacher, to read the Scriptures and expound on the Scriptures and get under conviction, as opposed to when you read it and see it yourself. Without a doubt, I'd much rather learn it that way. It's a little harder coming somewhere else. But the bottom line is, it's how we respond. Whether it's our own study, or whether we're being confronted by another believer, or just a preaching of the Word of God. Look again at Exodus chapter 10. Verses 12 and 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt, for the locusts, that they may be come upon the land of Egypt, and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt. And the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And it was morning, the east wind brought the locust. Again, we see the rod used as a symbol of authority. And Moses was not new to using a rod and a staff. He was a shepherd as well. He had the experience. He knew. He kept his in-laws' sheep as well and his own. Let's go on to letter B. Not only do we see here letter A, the representation, but the reality of the shepherd's rod. The reality. See, when you think of the Lord as your shepherd, then you should also think of his word as his rod. As I mentioned early. You might ask, well, why? Well, because the Bible speaks. How does the Bible speak? It speaks with authority. It speaks with power. It speaks with divine conviction that we spoke of earlier. And its irrefutable impact on our lives. I mean, it changes people. I was fortunate, as we talked about a few weeks ago, to be saved from a life of sin, being brought up in a Christian home. There's others that are saved out of a life of sin. Both salvations are miraculous. But if we look at, sometimes we think of that person, their life being changed, coming from a life of sin, accepting Christ, and their whole world changing, their whole world being turned upside down. That's that rod. That's that comfort. That's the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. My Bible says all Scripture. You ever say the same? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Kind of sounds like parenting, doesn't it? Why not use the Bible to help you parent? Why not use the Bible to help you raise your kids, encouraging your grandkids, others in your community, in your church, in your neighborhood? It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's the word of God. It's that authority, that rod that helps us as believers. Then Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Boy, if that's not spelling out authority, I don't know what is. Very clear that the word of God, as we look at that aspect of the great shepherd, our comforter, having that rod, his word, to correct us, to instruct us, to encourage us, is in fact the very word of God that should be that thing that we have that authority. As I spoke about last week, that reverential fear, not that fear of, oh no, he's going to strike me dead. That's the kind of fear we had about daddy when mama said, wait till daddy gets home. We're talking about that reverential fear of the Lord, knowing that he holds our life in his hand, knowing that he's a giver of eternal life, knowing that he is the one that will meet our every need. And then number two, we see the shepherd's rod of discipline. The shepherd's rod of discipline. Not just his authority. And by the way, when we recognize it as authority, it makes the discipline so much easier. In fact, when we recognize it as the authority, there doesn't tend to be as much discipline needed when we recognize it and we see it. Notice here, letter A, there is comfort in the discipline of the sheep. There is comfort in the discipline of the sheep. See, it may sound odd to you and me, but the disciplining aspect of the rod provides some of the greatest comfort for the sheep. Again, that aspect, son, it's going to hurt you. Maybe more is going to hurt you. But no, there's something comforting as a young person to know that my dad cared enough to discipline me. Through the years, I've worked in bus ministries and Bible college, other times, and being and having ministry to children and troubled teens at other times, it broke my heart to hear young people come by and say, I wish somebody around my house cared enough to correct me. Go to pick up kids in the morning, go to church on Sunday school on the bus route, mom and dad are still in bed, and they've got cereal all over the counter, a little milk where they're fixing themselves cereal to get ready because they wanted to come to church. They wanted somebody to care. And dear friends, we have a comforter in the Lord. This is a comfort in the discipline of the sheep who cares enough about us, cares enough for us that he will use his word, his rod, to correct us when it's needed. You see, when one animal is bullying another sheep or a member of the flock, a quick hurl of the shepherd's rod will end their misbehavior. I didn't know that. Just throwing it out doesn't even necessarily has to hit them. Just landing in the area. They might even notice that a shepherd is wandering away. And I read where they'll throw that rod out toward them in front of them to remind them he's still there to have them to come back. Not just a dog, but sometimes also that rod to get their attention or to let them know, I'm watching. You're wandering. You need to come back. And the same thing is true in the life of the believer. Because, letter B, there is comfort in the discipline of the saved. There's comfort in the discipline of the saved. I'm not asking for any raising of hands or any shout-outs. But just, you know who I'm talking about, because you know in your life, and you could probably know exactly what it's like. But remember how relieving it was if you ever got away from the Lord, and the Lord got your attention. Reminded you of who you were, a child of God. Your behavior, your activity, your speech, or whatever it was, and use something or someone to get your attention to bring you back. That rod was thrown out. The word was given. You read the word. Something was said. You were reminded, and it brings you back in. There's comfort. See, when pride rears its ugly head, God uses the rod of his word to adjust our attitude. I tell you what, I've needed my attitude adjusted in my lifetime. I've needed some adjustments. I'm thankful for the word of God to remind me. When a believer starts wandering his own way, the Bible brings him back. And that's why it's so important that we are in the word and not looking at it as a thing of just fear and discipline. It's there for the discipline when I need it, but it's also there for the comfort as I need it as well. Look at Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11 there in your handout. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. That's why it's good to read our Bibles. Remember, let's talk about the heart of our mind. That word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. It helps us and reminds us. You have a weakness. I shared this a few weeks ago. You struggle in the area. Lord, show me passages of Scripture that I can memorize and commit to memory to help me to flee from those things. Again, in Psalm 119 and verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. There's times that we need to be afflicted or afflicted, that we might learn his statutes or understand and learn our way. You see, even though we may be doing things that are wrong as a young believer, how are we supposed to know that it's wrong unless we're in his word and the Lord uses his rod of correction to show us? There's been times in my life, in my younger Christian years, even as a young adult, that though I've been in church, there are some things that I partook in that I was involved with, and the Lord used some things to get my attention and realizing I need to stop. I'll tell them myself and I'll move on. Most of you already know this. I started chewing tobacco at 5 years of age. It was as much of a cultural thing as it was anything down south. In Virginia, East Tennessee, I chewed for years. In fact, I quit real quick when I found out that Michelle didn't like it too much. But it wasn't just that. It was also realizing, understanding the Word of God and things in my life that I needed to shed. I mentioned before, I chewed bubble gum and tobacco together. I could gum up an umpire's brush real quick, spitting on home. I was terrible. Those are days for other stories. But I remember the Lord convicting me and knowing that, look, I need to stop. This is something that's a hindrance. I've become a leader in our youth group. At least I was looked at to being a leader, even though I didn't want to be. And the Lord began dealing with me of other people watching me, the junior high kids, as I was in high school, and setting the example. And the Lord dealt with me. My youth pastor talked with me about it. I quit. Now, fast forward 3 years. Still, there's occasion when I went hunting or fishing that I reached into my back pocket for something that had not been there for 3 years. It's that addiction can be that powerful. But it's also powerful of the Word of God that can give us victory over those things. So it's the Word of God in the heart of the child of God that serves as the comforting rod when we become domineering or demanding in our own way. There was a long time that I thought, nothing wrong with that. It's not going to hurt anybody. There's nothing wrong with me taking a chew. It's not like a smoke or anything. No. So smoking, I was chewing it. That was my thinking. I was trying to justify it. But the Lord began to work in my heart, and it was my youth pastor and the Word of God and the heart of a child of God began to show me and confront me on some things, and I was able to give it up. Number three, not only the shepherd's rod of discipline, but the shepherd's rod of accounting. The shepherd's rod of accounting. Letter A, it is an intimate accounting. Well, I'm so glad that I can have an intimate, personal relationship with my Savior. Because of the long wool that can grow over or grow on sheep, it is not always easy for the shepherd to detect parasites and disease and injuries, as we talked about in week one. For that reason, the shepherd must, from time to time, to personally inspect each member of the flock one at a time. One on one. He will release the sheep one at a time, stopping them with his rod, making sure they don't advance, and then go from nose to tail with his bare hands looking for problem areas and indications of trouble. And dear friends, that's exactly what God's word and what God does with the sheep. Are we allowing the word of God to cover us from head to toe? Are we asking the Lord to search me, O Lord? Show me. When's the last time we prayed, Lord? Have I developed any new bad habits? Lord, are some things that have snuck up in my life that needs to be put back because maybe it's taken a forefront or an area in my life that where you need to be in the front? Sometimes that can be a hard thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do, but we need to. Lord, show me, help me. Letter B, it's a personal accounting. Not only do we look at it here as an intimate accounting, but it's in a personal accounting. For the child of God, we know that we will answer to him for what we did in this life. One day. And dear friends, we need to stay busy of keeping short accounts and doing what we can and asking the Lord that mirror. I can look in the mirror in the morning. In fact, I don't have to look in the mirror in the morning. When I wake up, there's a couple of things I know I need to do. I need to wash the sleep out of my eyes. I need to shave. And I need to fix my hair before I go outside. Because I know I don't even need to look in the mirror. There are some things that we know that we need to take care of because we've learned through the years. But there's times we need to turn on the light in the mirror to see some things maybe we didn't recognize otherwise. There's times we need to turn on the light of the Word and allow it to show us some things in our life that maybe need to be, that's a little rough, that may need to be smoothed over or adjusted in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he have done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. See, we don't have to wait for the judgment seat of Christ. Instead, we can respond to the inner working of the Holy Spirit and teaching of the Bible today as they are God's tool to work in our hearts and lives for our spiritual good. What are the things? What are the goals that we have in life as a Christian? For example, almost through. What was the big thing, gentlemen, ladies? What was the big thing when you hit those teen years that you couldn't wait for next? To drive. To get that permit so you can drive with mom or daddy or Uncle Joe down the road. To get that driver's license and go out on your own for the solo. There was those things. And after that, it was, well, a few more years and I'll be able to vote. You know, we had things on the list that we were looking forward to. What about in our Christian life? That personal accounting. What is the next phase in our Christian growth that we're looking forward to that we want to achieve or want the Lord to use us in doing as we serve Him? Is it just about the things of the world that God has given us and blessed us with? Or is there some spiritual accounting that we want to grow into? We can respond to the inner work of the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned, the teaching of the Word, and they are God's tools to work in our hearts, in our lives, for our spiritual good, and are we using those? Psalm 139, verse 23 and verse 24. Search me, O God. As that shepherd goes and looks at those sheep from head to toe, and he uses that rod to keep them there, the other ones to stay put, and he goes from the tip of the nose to that little tail and checking up and down and sideways to make sure they are okay. There's no parasites. There's no difficulties. And here, the mirror of the Word of God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, show me what needs to change. Show me what and how I can improve. Number four, as we move on, almost finished. The shepherd's rod of protection. The shepherd's rod of protection. See, for the skilled shepherd, his rod serves a twofold purpose in protecting himself and his flock. This is not just for the sheep. First, it serves as a deterrent. It serves as a deterrent. See, and the shepherd will use it to drive off any would-be predators. Again, that importance of choosing the right size and the right weight to help them as a young shepherd and growing to an older may develop a larger one, but it serves as a deterrent. And then B, second, it serves as a defense. Not just a detour, but that shepherd uses against those animals that do attack. David talks about the lion and the bear that he took by the beard to slay. And I'm sure somewhere along the way he may have very well used that rod as well. And we know they also used the sling that he used. And sometimes the Lord has to use some things to help us to deter some things in our life. And sometimes also the best way to defend ourselves against Satan, we're to resist the devil and flee from him. And the best defense we have is Scripture. This is exactly what God's Word does for all of those who trust in his Son. Matthew chapter 4. A couple passages of Scripture here and we'll be done. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. After day 4, I would have felt like he did after those 40 nights. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written," even our Savior looked to Scripture, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Dear friends, I don't know about you. I believe with all of my heart, and this is not a class on angelology tonight, but I do believe there's angels unaware that are there to protect us. They stand in and way and protect us. Real quick story that I'll get back to. I just can't help it. Former pastor of mine, when I was in Bible college, had made a comment complaining one day about the men standing there by the exit holding up signs, "We'll work for food." People coming by knocking on the door. He just got on a little bit of a tirade. He told on himself. This is maybe where I learned on telling on myself. He always told on himself. He would come home, he was complaining. He's a pastor. Complaining, somebody come to the door looking for work and wanting to do something, and he had one of those days, and I'm just not interested. He'll probably just take the money and leave and say, "Oh, I'm not interested. Come back another day," and close the door. And he closed the door and turned around. There was his wife. You think there's any way possible that that could have been an angel unaware? That you had an opportunity to entertain angels, to be a blessing to someone in need? You didn't even give him a chance. And here's what she said. "And you call yourself a shepherd." Oh, man, does that hurt. I'm glad it wasn't me, but that's still, he told on himself to make a point to us preacher boys while we're in Bible college. Now, I believe if we'll heed to the word and to the Spirit of God, and I think whether it's the word that helps us and even those entertaining angels or angels ministering unto us. James 4, verse 7. "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Again, this past week, we were traveling. Got up the road. We got delayed. We stopped for gas. Stopped for the restroom. Didn't want to. It wasn't my stopping point. But I just felt the Lord said, "No, go ahead. This is a good price. Get off. Go ahead. Top off your tank. Go to the restroom." And I stopped. And I didn't even get a cup of coffee. Stopped. Got gas. Got on the road. We were 30 minutes up the road. And there was a horrible accident. Horrible. On our lane, right where we're going, right to the right, a truck that turned upside down and just scattered and destroyed. The cab was just all beat up. And I turned to the pastor with him and said, "Praise the Lord for that break for restroom and the top off our tank. It could have been right in that area." Friends, we will let the word of God, that rod, and next week the staff we'll talk about, let the word of God, the authority in our life, whether it be the Bible, whether it be another authority that God places in our life, and saying, "Lord, I'm going to honor the authority as long as it's honoring your word. I'm going to do my best to honor the authority of my life, particularly the word of God. And Lord, show me, help me, guide me, and here's the hard part, correct me as needed." Now, I don't know about you. If there's anything standing between me and my Lord and having the right relationship, I want to move it. If it means removing it, I want to remove it. It might mean spending less time, or it might be removing. We don't know unless we're here and in talking with him. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. And once again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for thy rod and thy staff, which comforted us. Lord, help us to spend time in the word. Allow the word of God to work in us, to indwell us, to speak to us, to discipline us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to correct us. Lord, whatever is needed. Father, I know many times we refer to it as a time of discipline and referring to the rod. But Lord, I also know at times your sweet word is such a comfort. Such assurance as we looked at last week. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." How comfort is to know that you are there with us in the valleys. But Father, you also love us enough to be there with the rod of your word when we need it to keep us in line. Lord, help us to be grateful. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. Time of fellowship tonight as we prepare to go home and through the work week. Help us and bless us through the week. And Father, give us a wonderful Lord's Day on Sunday, Lord, and bless our time of fellowship together on Friday night, game night, Lord, that we might be a blessing and encouragement to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. And by the way, if you happen to invite a neighbor and encourage someone to come and join you for game night, do it. Just text us before.